Good morning. Last week we learned that a Christian is part of the body of Christ and that he also is a new creature. Now let us consider the Christian is one who is a citizen of the kingdom of God, and we shall also see that a Christian is a priest in the temple of God. The New Testament emphasizes the tremendous value of the kingdom of God. However, Bible readers sometimes find the kingdom to be a confusing concept. The word is used over 40 times in the New Testament. In some places, the kingdom and its blessings seem to be in the future. In some places, it is a present reality. Then there are the conflicting views by religious groups today. We must not allow this to cause us to miss the significance of our being citizens of the kingdom. There are some guidelines in understanding the kingdom. The kingdom of God refers to the rule of God in the hearts of men, Matthew 6, verse 10. Luke 17, 20 and 21 says, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither will they say, Lo here or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." In Matthew 16, Jesus asked the disciples who men said that he was. There was various thoughts on who Jesus was, and then he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said in verse 16 that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus responds that upon this rock, the foundation of Jesus being the Christ, the Son of God, that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Verse 18. Then Jesus informed them, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Verse 19. That is, they would have the keys to unlock the door for entrance into the kingdom. But when would this kingdom come? Listen to verse 28. "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Jesus said it would come in the lifetime of some standing there that day. In Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, he emphasized that Jesus was not dead and that he at this very moment was sitting on the right hand of God ruling in his kingdom. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ, Acts 2:33-36. Then in verse 41 it says that then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. In verse 47 we see that God added to the church those who were being saved. What we learned here is that Jesus promised he would build his church and the gates of hell or death itself would not keep him from it. We also see that the kingdom and church are used interchangeably. Peter then says on Pentecost that Jesus had risen from the dead, and the people believing this were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. That day, about 3,000 souls were obedient and were added to their number. Then it says that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. At time's end, those who have submitted to God on earth and are thus part of his church will receive the inheritance of the kingdom. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. 1 Corinthians 15:24. There are two important conclusions. The kingdom exists in the world right now, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1, 6 and 9. In Colossians 1 and verse 13, Paul writes, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Then, number two, all faithful Christians are presently citizens of the kingdom. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Ephesians 2:19. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, the kingdom is only entered with great difficulty. Listen to Mark beginning in chapter 12, verse 34. And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Then in Luke 16:16 we read, The law of the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. We must remember that it is not enough merely to be near the kingdom. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Mark 12:34. A Christian is also a priest in the temple. The New Testament teaches that all Christians are priests to God. Peter writes in his first epistle, Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Chapter 2, verse 5 and 9. Then we read in Revelation 1, 5 and 6, And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. However, this concept of a Christian's role has been neglected. Our lives will be richer if we will give new emphasis to this aspect of Christianity. First, let us look at the priesthood of God. God used the priesthood to show the need for a mediator. A priest went as a representative into the presence of God and came as a representative before the people. His work said something about the relationship between God and man. It is also pointed to the need for someone to bring God and man together. God used the priesthood to teach the concept of holiness. A priest was set apart to God and free of defilement. Exodus 28:36, And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it, like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. Moses said to Aaron, This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee. When you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that you may put a difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. God used the priesthood to illustrate the privilege of serving Him. A priest could offer sacrifices to God. He could draw near to God and care for holy things, and a priest could count on God's things. Now let us look at the priesthood and how that relates to the Christian today. If we are priests, there can be no clergy-laity system in the church. We all have access to God. The whole church is a priesthood. If we are all priests, our authority today cannot be the Old Testament. Under the Old Covenant, the Levites were priests. But the New Covenant says that those who are Christ are priests. Hebrews 7:12-14 says, For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For if it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. If we are priests, salvation must be within the church. Hebrews 10:21 tells us that we have a high priest over the house of God. That means that the benefits of Christ are within that house. But the church is the house of God. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. Our priesthood applies to our relationship with Jesus. As our great high priest, he is our ruler, example, and helper. We serve under him and share in his work. Our priesthood applies to our daily lives. A priest must be holy. We read in Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Our priesthood applies to our worship. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And in Hebrews 13, 15 and 16 we read, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Our priesthood applies to our work. We are here to do God's work. We're not here to be served. Our priesthood applies to our relationship to the world. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and Romans 12, verse 2. Remember, Jeroboam conformed the priesthood to the world and not to God. Our priesthood applies to our fellowship with other Christians. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Hebrews 10, 24. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5, 16. Our priesthood applies to God's care for us. God provided for his priests under the old covenant. Hebrews 4, 16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Remember that it took the blood of Jesus to make us priests. Revelation 1, verse 6 and 5, verse 10. Have you been washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb? Faith leads us to repentance. Repentance leads us to submission to the will of God. Come to him in obedient faith and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. Friends, if we can help you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.